team because they're the boss. Okay. What an exciting year so far. And I know that a lot of you, as Robert has already alluded to, have been through really challenging year last, you know, in 2015. How many of you had a challenging year in 2015? It was glorious, right? Because you get opportunity to overcome. And if it didn't kill you, it made you stronger. Amen? And so, but here we are in 2016, and we can just close the door. I was so glad, you know, I was so glad when December 31st came. I thought, good, I can close the door on 2015, rejoice in all the good things that God did and all the challenging things that are going to stay behind, because I'm going into a glorious year that's going to be fun, exciting, fruitful. It's going to be amazing. And so God is good, and we're so glad that you're here. But one of the highlights for us in 2015 was we got to launch the Women in Ministry Network. And on June 26th of last year, I was out east worshiping in a conference, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to launch a global Women in Ministry Network, and I want you to redefine ministry. And so we started on it and got all the infrastructure in place, and we're able to launch it on Rosh Hashanah this year, or this last year. And so it's a brand new baby, and we're so excited. In fact, we have 125 ministers that are already signed up. We just came out of a conference call where women from all over the world, from England, from Australia, New Zealand, other places, were calling in on that conference call that we have every month for the network. So I want to introduce you to Michelle Burkett. So if Michelle could come forward, Dr. Michelle Burkett, who is the administrator, the director for Women in Ministry Network, and she's been doing an amazing job. But why don't you share a little bit on your heart and maybe a few testimonies?
Hello. Hello. If Anita and Karen can get ready, these are two members of the network that I'm going to have share with you a little bit. And what I am seeing is all over the globe faces that God has highlighted. And these are faces that some of them have been in ministry. We've got a lot of women in the network who are actually in pulpit ministry. And we've got, but I'm seeing where also God is highlighting those faces that have felt like maybe they've been sidelined. They have felt the bumping around of God inside of them, but they haven't known quite what to do with that. Or they have felt like maybe they're just dormant. And God is saying to you, rise up, because I'm about to strike the match. And I have seen you. I have anointed you. I have placed the giftings inside of you. You are not set aside, and your time has come. So in this day, rise up, rise up. And so God is breathing. His spirit is moving, and he's going to each of those that are highlighted. He's saying, now, daughter, now, now. And there is going to be a tremendous uprising. And we in the network, we want to come in and say, we want to equip you. We want to empower that. We want to mobilize that. We want to ignite the things that God is saying, set a fire. Right? Right. So get ready as the earth trembles, as the bride of Christ's boots hit the ground. All right. All right. Nita Weldon is part of our Women in Ministry Network. And I'm just going to have these two ladies, Nita and then Karen, talk to you about what the network means to them. And then after the meeting tonight, I will be out at a table to answer questions. Anyone who's in the network that is here, I'd like to see you. I'd like to hug you and all the above. All right. Here you go.
Thank you. Well, I just recently joined the network, and I was raised a pastor's kid. And my dad was a pastor since his early 20s and a part of the 70s, so loved the things of the Holy Spirit and the renewal of the 70s. But he was with a specific denomination that did not release women. Like, women were kind of capped out. They weren't allowed to be leaders or ministers. And so when Patricia announced that she was doing a women in ministry, like, I love seeing women released. I have kind of a roar in my spirit for women to be released into their callings. And so when I heard that Patricia was starting this, I was like, yes! And I went and I found my husband, John. I'm like, look, check this out. This is so amazing. I love it. I love to see women empowered. So last year, God had a word for me, and I thought I'd just share it because I think it applies to women in the network. And the word was catapult. Often he'll give me just a word. And catapult means a device in which accumulated tension is suddenly released to hurl an object some distance in particular. And I just felt like that was a word for me personally last year. But I feel like it's also a word that describes an arm of this ministry, that God wants to get behind women and he wants to catapult them. He wants to, let's see, some synonyms are he wants to propel them, launch them, hurl them, fling them, fire them, and shoot them into their calling. So, yes, let's see that happen in 2016.
Amen. All right. Karen?
Happy New Year, everybody. Okay, it wasn't lost on me that there's 15 things on this brochure that they provide for you if you join women. But it's so much more. Hold the mic up to my mouth. Okay. My name is Karen. I'm a single woman. My mother's a Foursquare preacher. Who thought that I should be one too, and I ran out. I ran away 17 years. And eventually in 2011, I got so sick that they wanted to put me in a nursing home at 57. So I thought my life was over, doing anything was over. I didn't have a degree. I wasn't a pastor. I went to Women on the Front Lines in August. I started to slowly get well. I'm still working that out with the Lord. But I went to Women on the Front Lines in Angeles Temple, and I asked the Lord, what do you have for me? And I was leading a single women's small group, and he said, women. And I thought, okay, that's what I'm doing. Well, Patricia then comes up with this July word, and I'm at a training in September, and I said, who do you think I should ask for prayer covering for in this ministry? Because they love us, but they don't know how to empower us. And she said, women. So today was an awesome call. There was all kinds of ministry going on. You know, we get on Facebook in this separate group, and we can pray for each other. Lauren Huff is on there every single day of the week, Monday through Friday. She gives a prophetic word and prays for everybody. It's amazing if you knew this woman's life story. But it's blessed me so much. It's empowered me so much. I'm excited for 2016. I think every woman I come up to, I say, join this network. It's amazing, and we love each other. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're excited. And when the Lord said to redefine ministry, you know, so often when a person says, I'm in ministry, we think someone behind a pulpit, maybe an evangelist or a prophet or, you know, apostle or someone. But ministry is intentional, taking the presence of God in you and releasing it wherever you go. And so women in their homes, for example, it's such an important post of ministry. In fact, you know, ministry in your home as a wife, as a mother, as a homemaker can change the whole world. And yet so often that's not defined as ministry in the body of Christ. Same within the workplace. What if you're a woman working in a coffee shop? You know, that can be your post of ministry if you will give your life to the Lord with intentionality to fill that space with his presence, just by the love that you walk in, the faith, the just belief in his presence who is with you as you're laboring. When you do that with intentionality, you can change the world. even in the workplace. We all have to be in our place as ministers of the gospel. Not everyone is called to fivefold ministry as is outlined in Ephesians 4. Those are to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. The real ministry takes place out there in the world. And intercessors and worshipers and children's laborers and, you know, I mean, just, you know, those that are involved in business, in the government field, hospital laborers and medical field, education field, all those areas, media, arts, entertainment, all of them are important areas for women to be in. And so we celebrate you. We cover you. We've got great apostolic covering with Bill Johnson, Cheon, James Gall, Heidi Baker, Iverna Tompkins, Joy Dawson, and many others who apostolically said, we want to cover you. We want to bless you, whoever comes into the network. And so I want you to take that brochure and pray into it. If you're a woman and if you're a man, give it to all the women you know, you know, and just tell them that they need to join the network, because we've got the best men on the face of the earth in our team and in our apostolic team that's covering it, who are just on board to really bless the women of God. It's the hour for women to arise. And so I'll be out at the table also. And also I wanted to feature my book, God's Law of Attraction. If you do not have this yet, I also will be available to sign books after. And also step into supernatural provision. And I believe, as I'm going to share in a moment, that in 2016, it's going to be amazing for the people of God. We've got our faith out as a ministry, really, truly, for the people of God to prosper in this year. And I'm going to share in just a moment. So I want to give these out. Can you give those out to whoever you feel the leading to give them to? Bless them. And Happy New Year. And also coming up in March, and again, go on our website, xpministries.com, and go to the events page and see all the events. But we've got a special school of healing for the soul coming up with Katie Sousa in our studio coming up in March. No, February. It's next month. And it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord, where people are going to have breakthroughs, but also tools to go on in life. And that school is also going to be webcast, and it's going to be part of our institute that we are starting in 2016, where eventually you'll be able to get credits for degrees and everything off of that. So right now, anyone who takes the course, their certificate courses, you'll receive certificate of completion, but also your name will go into the database, and those who have completed the course successfully will be able to use it as credit later on once we get degrees and everything ordered. So it's just an exciting season to be in, isn't it? But I want to take some time to release a prophetic decree of blessing over you, but also to receive an offering at this head of the year for Jesus, for the advancement of his kingdom, and to set you in place. And I wanted to share something that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks, is that, as you know, because you live in the valley here, most of you, and those of you that are online, we'll just let you in on this, is that the state of Arizona hosts a lottery, where it's a fundraising lottery where the proceeds go to different things. You can go online and see where they put them into schools and you know, roads and administration and stuff like that. But anyways, that lottery, as of today, someone told me, because I thought it was 800,000. They said, no, it's over $1 billion now, this lottery, over $1 billion. And so a couple of weeks ago when it was much less, like only 385 million or something, someone was telling me about how great it would be to win that lottery. And they said, you know, if you win the lottery, you're set for life. You're fixed for life. And I thought, I don't need a lottery to be set for life. I'm set for life. I'm set for life because of God. And yesterday we did this event called Create Your Glorious Future. And the essence of it is this, is that God is already in your tomorrow. When I woke up this morning, I got out of bed, I started worshiping him, and I said, God, you are in this day. I haven't lived out this day yet, but you have lived out this day. And if you are great, which you are the great I am, you are the all-wise God, the all-powerful God, the all-provisional God, the all-magnificent one, you are that, and you are in my day. You are in my day, and I am in you. You carry me inside of you, and I carry you inside of me. Therefore, I have an expectation on today that it is going to be glorious. And every day I can wake up in the morning and make that decree, and every night I can decree it over my night, because it's true for my entire life into all through eternity. That is true, because God is so great and he is so powerful. Now, God is our portion. It says in Proverbs 16:33 that the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And so the Lord is the one who oversees, kind of, you know, the one whose name is drawn in a lot. Now, I'm just saying that to say this is a, you know, on the news, my husband and I were watching it, and there's people running out to buy all these lottery tickets. And they were saying some of them, you know, are borrowing money. They're putting them on their Visa cards and all this kind of stuff, because they have this expectation that if they win the lottery, their life will be so happy. And they put all their trust for joy and happiness inside of a lottery ticket. That if they win, it'll solve everything. But they showed on the news, they showed that the statistics show that no matter how much a person wins, it's usually gone in less than 2 years, and the person is right back into their place. And you know why? It's because there's no blessing on the love of money. There's no blessing on it. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. So we have this guarantee, like if, you know, anyone has their trust in money, just, you know, it's fickle. Money is fickle. But God is constant, you know, for throughout all eternity, and we can put all of our trust in him and be set for our life. Why do people sell out for wealth? Why do they go and do things like that, like, you know, borrow money and cash in their insurances and stuff like that to think just to go after some money? And I was sharing this morning at Shiloh that the reason why people do is because inside we know that we're created for wealth. You were created for it because God is a God of wealth. There's no poverty in heaven. In fact, God is against poverty. He's against it. He hates it. Absolutely hates poverty, and he wants us to hate it. So innately, we know that we are created for wealth, but we can't obtain that wealth through the love of money. We obtain wealth through the love of God, because in heaven, there is no poverty. It's only wealth and extravagance. I mean, I don't have time to unpack all this to you. If you want a really, really good message, go on our Shiloh website and listen to today's service. It was, oh, I just loved it. I want to listen to myself preach it again, because it was that good. I mean, I got so blessed by it, okay? But but we know that we're not to be poor, so that when we are afraid of poverty, when we're afraid of not having enough, we want to go for what we think is going to fill us, which is money or the stuff in the world. But Jesus said, don't worry, don't be anxious about those things, because those are the things that the Gentiles eagerly seek. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things, they will be added unto you. So when you have a core belief in who God is, and I know that in 2016, I'm going to worship the God of all wealth. I'm set for life because I'm inside the God of all wealth. Now, whatever you focus on, that's what you empower. Whatever you focus on, that is what you attract. And I'm going to focus on my God. I'm not going to focus on, you know, the currency that is only earthly. I mean, the whole system's going to burn down in an hour, according to Revelation 18. So I'm not going to put my trust in it. And what use is a whole bunch of money going to do you for 2 years and then you lose it all and get back to where you are? You might as well just worship God today, every day of your life, and let Him, who is wealth Himself, take you inside of Him and give you the riches of His wisdom, of His understanding, of His knowledge, of the fear of the Lord, of understanding, and of everything that you need in life that pertains to life and to godliness, and to give you the breakthrough that is so glorious. He has set something in place for this year for His people, who are kingdom people, who are so set apart for His kingdom. He has the blessing of abundance waiting for you. It says in the scripture that He is crowned this year with bounty. And it is created in God for you. And I want you to know this God of greatness, this God of power, this God of wealth, this God of glory. Do you know in Isaiah 60, that word glory there is in the context of wealth. It is all about the wealth of the nations, the camels, the gold, the silver, coming to the people of God who are worshipers of Him. We're standing in the glory. And so I'm excited for 2016 for the people of God. I'm excited for our team because I don't take apostolic authority lightly. I know that when God puts you in a place of influence, and every single one of you has influence, whatever that place of influence is, you are able to bless those that are in that realm of influence with what God has given you. And so with intentionality, I'm going to bless all of those who are in my sphere of influence with decrees and expectation for open heaven, for blessings, for all the goodness. And we get reports all the time from our partners and our church members, our team members, all the time, how they escalate and increase and get blessed and breakthroughs and all of that. Because we're made for it. I have an expectation for that. And we expect it to grow and increase in 2016. And God wants you to grow and increase in 2016. It says in Psalm 16, 5 and 6, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. And then it says, you, O Lord, support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. What is our heritage? It's Him. It's Him. God plus nothing equals everything we need. People are out there selling out their houses or whatever they're doing, you know, charging up their credit cards for like a lottery ticket. Come on. We've got Him, our future and our hope. We've got the fullness of His glory and the fullness of all that He is and all that He has, He's given to us. And how many of us would sell out for Him? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, because He is worthy. Amen? And so when we have Him, we have everything else. And at the head of the year, what I want us to do is so extravagantly into 2016. So extravagantly unto the King of the year. Unto the one who is the God of all wealth, the God of all riches, the God of all glory. I want to sow into Him. I want to give Him the first and the best. So if you're watching online, you can go to the tab there. There's a giving tab. Go there and give generously with faith, because I'm going to make a decree over you as you prepare your offering, a decree for acceleration. And I believe that the offering that we honor Him with at this season, at this time, this night, as we offer it to Him for the year, that is going to have tremendous return on it. It's just the way the kingdom works. It's the way the kingdom works. And so if you need an envelope for your gift, put up your hand. Let's give extravagantly unto the Lord. I'm so excited. I just felt from the Spirit an absolute guarantee of abundance in 2016. And I love it. You know why? Because the systems in the world are being challenged. They're being shaken. People are afraid out there in the world. Those who don't know God, that's why they're spending so much money trying to win a lottery. It's, you know, because they're afraid. They're just hoping that maybe they can have this breakthrough. But we have a message for them. We can show them how to obtain true wealth. They're made for it. It's what they're made for. You know, and we have the answer, and it's in God. It is Him. It is Jesus Christ. And I'm so excited about what He has for you in 2016. I know His word is true. I know His word will not fail. I know that He says these things will follow us, and that He is all, you know, worthy of all glory, all honor, all riches. He is the one I want to give to, because as I'm in Him, I live inside of that set for life blessing, that fixed for life blessing. If anyone else needs an envelope, put up your hand. If we missed anyone, just wave at us. There we go. Just wave big, because this offering is going to be amazing. Now, I've seen this many times in our meetings, where sometimes before the meeting is even out, people are blessed with a miracle return. We expect it, we believe for it, and we've seen it many, many times over. And that's because the Lord says when we preach the word, He will confirm with signs following. So if I'm preaching on the God of all wealth, and I'm preaching giving Him the glory according to His word, and you respond to that, then the sign and the confirmation that He gives is going to be according to the word that was preached. How many of you have expectation for that? You know, I want you to have expectation for it. So if you're making out checks, you can make them payable to XP. But I am committed in the spirit for your prosperity. I'm committed because I know it's divine. I know it's heavenly. I know it's God's expectation for you. I've ministered in many mission fields in poverty-stricken nations. I've served the poor my whole life in the Lord. I've served the poor. And, you know, I love serving the poor, but I hate the spirit of poverty. And when you go into a nation that's poverty-stricken, it is so horrible. There's corruption, there's filth, there's disease and sickness and disorder and chaos and betrayal. It's gross. That spirit, and I refuse to partner with it in any way. But when I've accessed heavenly glory and seen, you know, the Lord and seen things in the scripture, it's all about His copious splendor and abundance, all riches, all glory, all wealth. It's all unto Him, because it's who He is. And because you're in Him, you're a partaker of that. I decree over you, get ready, just hold your offering next to your heart, because I'm going to make a prophetic decree over you. I decree over you in 2016 a transition into accelerated blessing, increase of everything that you need in life coming to you. Because of the greatness of God who lives within you, because of the great one who lives inside of you, and because you are in Him. Amen. Oh, I'm excited. And I believe that many of you are going to have amazing breakthroughs in this coming year. So our ushers will serve you in the receiving of the offering. And online, our viewers, thank you so much for giving, and just want to encourage you that when you are given food over the internet and that, to just in delight of what God has given you, sow back into it and watch what God will do to bless your life. And we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Amen. Wow. Are you happy? Okay, well, I've got a whole pile of words for you tonight. It's a prophetic night. And Jim, if you, you know, get anything, too, that you want to share later, let us know. Because I believe there's going to be personal prophetic words for people as well, as the Lord highlights people. But I've got some things that I believe God wants to deliver to the body of Christ. So you might want to take notes, or at least take note in your heart of things that God is speaking to you specifically, because He's given me a number of prophetic insights for this year, and some of them are going to hit home to individual hearts in here. But before I start, I want to say again, if you had a difficult year in 2015, do not let any offense or fear or irritation or negativity that you experienced in 2015 get carried into 2016. Close the door on it. If you need to forgive anyone, forgive them. You know, if you took offense, repent and put it on the altar and put all the difficulties on the altar, giving it to God as a gift. You see, your trust in those situations is a great gift to Him. So when you put your problems on the altar and say, Lord, I trust you with it, He wants to receive it all because He loves the trust that you have in Him. Close the door on that and open up the door into 2016. It's going to be glorious. The first word I have for you is about the government of God. And in Isaiah 9, verse 7, it says that of the increase of His government and of peace, there shall be no end. Now, some of these things I'm preaching into the spirit realm because there are lies that are being spoken through people's, you know, ignorance because they don't know, and through media, through political agendas and that are creating fear in the atmospheres and creating fear in people's hearts and minds. So a lot of what I'm going to be preaching tonight, I'm preaching into the atmosphere because when a word is prophesied, it actually starts to take form and brings itself to pass. And God's word will trump other words when they are received by faith. So the word does not return void. It accomplishes everything that it's sent to do. Now, I have heard in many Christian circles, actually, especially if you go on certain Facebook pages and things like that, you can find out that there is great fear and negativity within the body of Christ. And even negative prophetic words that I don't believe are true. I've heard Christians even say, oh, the end is coming, it's going to be a horrible time, and, you know, Christians are going to get persecuted to a place where they have no power left, they're going to be, you know, going through such a hard time, and the Antichrist is going to emerge and take over the world sort of thing. I thought, where in the heck did you get that? Like, you're reading the wrong mail. If you read that out of the Bible, you're not reading your mail. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or blemish. And I tell you, nothing is going to stop the increase of His government and of peace. Now that word peace there is shalom. It means salvation. It means prosperity. It means deliverance and healing and well-being. And the scripture says of the increase, say increase. Of His government. That's His authority. That's His heavenly rule and reign. He established a kingdom, an eternal, everlasting kingdom that will never fade, that will never be destroyed, that will never be annihilated. And you and I belong to that kingdom. And He is our King. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And He is for all eternity. And no silly little beast or antichrist is going to shift that. Never. And I preach that right into the spirit realm. It is the truth about Jesus Christ, Almighty God. The increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. So why do you think that there would be decrease in this hour? Hello? Is that the spirit of stupid to think that or what? You know? It just doesn't align with the truth of God's word. Yeah, people have said, well, you know, there could be persecution and martyrdom, and it's going to be a horrible thing. Martyrdom is not a horrible thing. If you're a martyr, if you really are called to be a martyr, and I say there's going to be martyrdom, you'll say, yay, when? I'm not kidding you. Martyrs feel like that. And there's some of you in this room. In fact, you've known that you're going to be martyred. And you've always been excited about it. If you're afraid about that thought, you're not one. You're not. You don't have a call to be a martyr. If you're afraid of it. Because when you're a true martyr, you're excited about it. And I'll tell you something else. When you're a martyr, I don't even think there's, you know, I really wonder if there's even pain involved. You know, because look at Stephen. He's being stoned and his face is like the face of an angel. And he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that doesn't sound like someone who's in agony. He's in the glory. He's in a different realm. martyrs. They are amazing and they love it. Did you watch the execution by ISIS of those believers in the Middle East? And you know, we saw it on TV. We saw people being martyred. Did any of them look afraid? They were amazing. I looked at their faces and I said, oh wow. I see Jesus on them. I see peace on them. It's the greatest reward in heaven to be persecuted for your faith like that. The greatest reward goes to the martyrs. So if you're afraid, you're not one. Okay? So don't worry about it. You're not going to be chosen. But I think, why are we even afraid of that? You know, because if we have opportunity in the preaching of the gospel to suffer for the gospel, it's just an amazing blessing. And there's grace upon it. You know, I've faced persecution. I've, you know, embraced a lot of these things, you know, as they came, I wasn't looking for them. But when they come, you just look to God. And I look back on them, the greatest times of my life were those times. It's amazing the blessing that comes upon you during those times. And Jesus promised it. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Blessed are you when men revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. You're blessed. He says you're blessed. If you're blessed, you're blessed. That's not a hard thing. Okay? So when we think of the day that we're living in, we have to start seeing according to the truth, and that is a church that is emerging, that is not depleting, but is getting stronger. It's getting larger, it's getting stronger, it's getting more powerful. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Jesus is not coming back for a church hiding out in caves and eating tribulation food. He is not coming back for a church that lacks power. He is coming back for a church that is absolutely brilliant. And he is transforming us into that church. We are heavenly beings living in the earth. We're not just mere human beings trying to get into heaven. He lives within us and we are in him. You know, Christ in us is the hope of glory. We're not a wimpy people. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Why are we listening to lies? Why are we listening when the world is out there saying, oh, it's going to be a terrible thing. You know, the economy's going to, you know, be bad. The terrorists are going to take over. You know, the nation's going to be attacked and everyone's going to suffer and all that. And we say, oh, yes, amen, amen. You know, come on, we're the church. We're supposed to be standing in the gap. It's our finest hour. Everyone's afraid. What's going to cast out their fear? Perfect love. And who is perfect love? Jesus. And where does Jesus live? He lives in you and I. This is our greatest time of harvest. This is the greatest hour to be alive. Now, if you look at church history, ever since Jesus died on the cross, you know, paid the price for us in hell, was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father. Ever since that time, you've seen an increase of the kingdom. There's never been a depletion. Even in times like the Dark Ages, there was a remnant in the earth that grew. Even in recent times of persecution, giving as an example the Chinese church, it grew during persecution, brutal persecution, it grew. It became the strongest church in the world as far as numbers and demonstration of power during the midst of persecution. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it? Do you know what that says? The gospel's unstoppable because the word says of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Beloved, do you believe that? Does God have a people in the earth that will be so radical for him that there'll be a voice having expectation for good things? We shouldn't go into 2016 with an expectation for hardship. I have an expectation for glory. I'm so excited about this year. And if you're afraid and hiding out in your caves, well, give me your stuff and I'll steward it for you. If you want to go live out in the cave, go ahead. But it's like not where you belong. God gives you a free will, but it's not where you belong. You are a king and a priest for God in the earth. Come on, let's live like it. It's our finest hour. Missiologists have reported that in this last generation that we've lived in, that there's more people saved in this last generation, this last 50 years, than in all of church history, since the resurrection of Christ, in all of church history combined. That means there are more Christians living in the earth today than there are in heaven. A friend of mine in a 2-year period, this is, you know, he told me this about a year and a half ago, in a 2-year period had won documented, this is documented salvations, 1 million Muslims to Jesus. Documented. I have another friend in India who told me, he said, you know, it's not unusual for me to host a crusade where there's 100,000 converts per night. That's not unusual. Come on, this is the day that we're living in. Do you know that by media, we can reach the masses? I showed up in Sri Lanka, my very first time in Sri Lanka. I'm at the baggage claim, and there's this man comes running up to me, this Sri Lankan man. He says, "You're Patricia King." He says, "You don't know this, but you're my mentor. You're my spiritual mother." And he wraps his arms around me and starts crying. I was so touched. I never met him before in my life. But through media, you don't know who you're reaching. I would have never known if I hadn't met him there. And we get emails all the time from people whose lives have been transformed through media. This is the day that we are living in, of the increase of his government and of peace. There shall be no end. And God wants you to deny every fearful thought in your mind, everything that restricts him, everything that says it's going to be hard, it's going to be bad, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be terrible. Cast it out and believe the truth about God. And believe the truth about him in you. Amen? You got that one? Now, I'm speaking that into the bigger picture, but what about you as an individual? Is there an increase of his government and of peace inside of you? Yes. Let it fill your soul. Let the increase of his authority, of his blessing, of his goodness, of his prosperity, his deliverance, his healing, let it fill. Because of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end in you. Eternity will just reveal more and more and more of the glory of God. Whoa! There'll be no end of the unfolding of the greatness of who he is. This is who we serve. And I am so unashamed of the gospel, and I am so confident that I can speak this in truth. I don't care what anyone says to oppose it, even if they call themselves a prophet or whatever. I say you're lying if you are contrary to the word of God. It's like, come on, as men and women of God, we can't put fear in people. We're not called. Did Jesus say, "Go ye therefore and preach fear to all the people"? He said, "Preach what? Good news." Good news, of course, because he is good all the time. Never did he tell us to put fear in people. Never. Because it's not part of his kingdom. Okay, next. The next word I want to bring, I've got so many words, I'll unpack some of them more than others. But the Lord says that in this year, he's calling his people to alignment by repairing the altars of devotion in their life. Wow. Now, in 1 Kings 18, you see the story of Elijah. In that day, Ahab was king and Jezebel was the queen. And they had turned a nation actually away from God because, you know, it just... You know, compromise is infectious. You know, do not compromise. You know, just love God with all your heart. Believe his word. Follow his word. Obey his word. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. If someone says, "Oh, yeah, but, you know, you can get away with this or do the other," it doesn't matter. God will turn his face on it. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, he doesn't mind. Don't believe it. But what happened in Ahab's day is he had turned the nation away from God. And so now they were believing in the true God, but they were also serving Baal, which was a sexual deity. Hello. I had a dream yesterday morning about porn, which I'll share in a moment. I was like, oh, it just shook me up a little bit until I got my bearings and started going after it. But in that day, the people had turned to these sexual deities. And so there was a hesitation. They had idolatry and they had lust and everything operating in their life. And finally, Elijah says to them, you know, do not hesitate between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. You know the story. And he called for a confrontation. And the prophets of Baal set up their altar and started crying on their God, because the contest was to see which one would answer in power. They were looking for a power confrontation. The God who answers by fire, he is the true and the living God. And so they called on their God and nothing happened. And I believe it was because Elijah was in the midst, standing in kingdom authority. And so the enemy couldn't function. And that's how strong you are too, when you are in Christ, operating in his authority. And so they, you know, nothing happened. And so it was Elijah's turn. And you know what Elijah did? He didn't call on God for power right away, did he? It says in verse 30 of 1 Kings 18 that he repaired the altar that had been torn down. You see, when you lose your devotion to God, and when you put other things first, when other things distract you, and you put even your work for the Lord before your devotion to the Lord, you get out of sync. And when that altar is torn down, when it's damaged, when it needs repair, that's when the enemy can come in and start bringing other compromises in your life and lead you away from God. And the Lord says that in 2016, he's calling his people to repair the altar. To repair the altar and to have that devotion before God. How many of you, you know, you used to have real strong devotion times, and then all of a sudden life got so busy, and before you know it, you're waking up in the morning and the first thing you go to is your phone for the text or the emails or the to-do list for the day, you know. And then you think, oh, I'll have time with God later, or I'll have it on the run. I'll just, you know, put my mind on him and that'll be fine. And he's just waiting. You know, he's just waiting for your complete devotion, for your worship, for your engagement with him. He misses that. But we let everything distract us. Everything's so busy. We put other things before him. And that tells you what's more important to you. Of what you put first. Whatever you're most passionate about, you will put first in your life. And the Lord showed me that he's gonna realign us so that our passion for him gets put back in its rightful place. And we're going to have the grace to repair the altars that were torn down. And even family altars. How many of you have a family altar where husband and wives or even children together spend time in the Lord and with one another, reading the word, praying? And you know, it can start, even if you want to start with just one prayer and maybe one verse of the Bible, is better than nothing. But one of the reasons why families have deteriorated and are broken down is because the altar's broken down. But when we start putting God first within our homes again, then we're going to see the glory of God manifest. And that's what God has on his agenda for you in 2016. The next thing, the next word is that the Lord showed me that there is a revival of the word coming. A revival of the word. Now it says in Psalm 1 that there's benefits to meditation on the word of God. It says that when you meditate on his word, on his commands, on what comes from him, on the truth, that when you meditate on that, that you will be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. It says your leaves will never wither, you know. It says that you will bear fruit in your season, and whatever you do, you will prosper. Now again, God is restoring a love for his word. How many of you used to read your Bibles, but lately haven't even picked it up? And I just want to encourage you to get back in the word. And I believe that as you take a step to do it, you're going to want more and more and more of the word in your life. I really believe that. And I would highly recommend that, you know, try at least a chapter a day. It doesn't take long, but you know, if you wanted to read up to 5 chapters a day, you could read through the whole Bible in a year. It's that easy. But there's something about starting. I like starting a book, taking one book of the Bible at a time and reading it through methodically. Because when you do that, you keep balanced. That disciplined reading will keep you balanced. See, I love the study of the Word. I love studying out certain subjects and that. But if you study one subject too much, you can get out of balance. You need a balance with the full counsel of the Word of God. The full counsel. And so reading the Word every single day, chapter by chapter, line on line, you know, it just keeps you balanced. And I believe there's going to be a grace for it. I'm not talking about a legalistic pressure. And you know, don't be afraid of the word discipline. You know, we are such mamby-pamby believers sometimes that, you know, we think, oh, if that's discipline, then I'm under the law and it's legalism and I'm not under grace anymore. That's just stupidity, thinking like that. Now, if you think you have to be disciplined in order to be saved, then that's different because your salvation, you know, it's a gift. You cannot earn it. But it's good to be disciplined. Amen? There's benefits in being disciplined. And I think in our culture, we don't have very much discipline. In fact, we have so much self-entitlement that it's become a big issue, you know? And I think a little bit of discipline does us well. And, you know, when warriors get trained, you know, in the army, they have discipline. They have to get up and exercise and they have to do it because they're in training. When Olympic gold medalists are training for that medal, they're disciplined. You know, it's a good thing. It does you good to be disciplined in the spirit. Okay. Everything the word says you are, it's what you are. Everything the word says that you have, you have. Everything the word says you can do, you can do. But how will you know if you never read the Word? How will you know if you never meditate on the Word? So I just want to encourage you to get under the grace of this revival in the Word. It is so amazing. I find every time I read the Word, just through disciplined Bible reading, that as I'm reading, the Spirit of God breathes on something, and it's like, woo! It's just awesome. I love it. And journal what you're getting. It's fun. Okay, next. The Lord said to tell you that kingdom economy is in really good shape. Now, I'm not being light about this because I'm telling you, if you will believe the truth about God's economy and let it fill you, you will manifest it. You have a decision to make. God gives us a will. Many people think, well, God is sovereign, you know, whatever he wants to do, and he'll make me think what I want to think. You know, God is sovereign in that he's got all authority, final authority, you know, he can decide what he wants, but he gave you a free will. And that is your gift, to be able to choose him or not choose him. And you can choose the lies that are out there in the world or choose the truth about God. And if you choose the truth of what God says, you'll manifest the truth. If you choose the lies, you'll manifest the lies. The economy in the world is shaky and there's a lot of greed. There's a lot of evil going on behind the scenes. There's nothing really in that system that you can put your trust in and know it's a done deal. But when you put your trust in God and in who he is, you have made a decision that will keep you stable for your whole life into all eternity. God plus nothing equals everything that we need. His economy is in really good shape. Next. The Lord said to tell you that fear and terror will be conquered by those who believe. You see, the spirit of terror is a lie. It's just like Goliath. Remember Goliath? He was taunting the armies of the living God. Do you know what caused David to overthrow him? He noticed that Goliath was uncircumcised, which meant Goliath did not have a covenant with God. David said, you know, hello? I don't care how big you are. I don't care how thick your armor is. I don't care about the words that you speak, all this taunting you're doing. It means nothing to me because you have no covenant with God. I might be smaller than you. I might only have a little slingshot, a rock here. You know, I might not have what you have in those. But I've got the name of the Lord. I've got covenant with God. And you're coming down, Goliath. You're coming down. You know why? Because David didn't believe the lies of that giant for a minute. He knew the giant was lying. And he knew God's word was true. He knew that God had promised him in covenant that God would be an enemy to his enemies. And he won that battle and many more because of it, because he believed the truth. See, that giant tried to put fear, and he did. They bought into the lie, put fear in all the armies of God. I mean, they were all afraid. Not one of them would step up to take the giant except David. And David overthrew the lie and conquered. The spirit of terror in the world today is a lie. It's a lie. It's a taunting, lying spirit. Will we believe in how big and how great God is? Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then it tells you what the strongholds are. They're the thoughts that are raised up in your mind, your imaginations that are raised up against the true knowledge of God. And so we can't entertain thoughts of fear and terror, and we can't react to fear. We have to react in faith in God, in his goodness, and be fearless. And perfect love casts out fear. When we operate in the love of God, if all the church, if every believer on the face of the earth would deny fear and choose love and just fill the earth with love, there would be no room for terrorism to exist. And so the Lord is calling his church to rise up and conquer fear and terror, first of all, in their own lives, and then to make a difference in the world that we live in. Okay, the next one is, the Lord said that there is going to be terror for the enemy in the Middle East, because there's going to be a great harvest of souls in the Middle East. Now, there's crisis, we know. There's crisis in the natural in the Middle East. There's disturbance, you know, because of ISIS and that. The Lord said to say that the crisis is going to be the enemy's, because he's not going to know what to do because of the great move of God that is coming. It is going to shake them. There is going to be a mighty move of God. And there's also going to be a mighty move of God in North Korea. The kingdom of God is unstoppable. And the enemy is going to go into crisis. We're going to cause him to shake in his boots because of what God is going to do. Where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. There's going to be revival, an unstoppable move of harvest and revival in the Middle East and in North Korea. In fact, it's already there. You might not have heard about it, but it is there. The fire is already being kindled. Next, women are going to be arising in this year, and that's because God is breathing upon women, having women put in their place. Ever since the fall, women lost their place, and in order for kingdom dominion to be made manifest through the church, men and women have to be in their place. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, God created man in his image, male and female created he them. In other words, the word man in scripture equals male and female. And then it says, and he blessed them, male and female, and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion and rule. I need my water, thanks. If women are not in their place, there won't be, yeah, I'll have some of that, thanks. There won't be fruitfulness, there won't be multiplication, and there won't be God's dominion manifest in fullness. And that's why it's imperative for women to come into their place, and God's going to do it. Now, here's one that's really exciting. God's going to move upon seniors in this year. Oh my gosh, what the Lord showed me on this is so awesome. We were in this very room this summer had a Women on the Front Lines conference. And I noticed that a lot of the participants were, you know, mature. And so I said, how many of you are over 60? And a big portion of the room stood up. And so I jokingly said, we need to start as seniors on the front line. I said it as a joke. And everyone started cheering. They said, yeah! And so God has actually spoken to me. We are starting seniors on the front line this year. And so we're doing our first event this summer. But we are redefining senior, because in people's minds, they think senior is like someone in a wheelchair or something, you know? And that is not senior. It's like, you know, mature in the anointing, mature in wisdom, you know, the ones that are to be honored for the way that they've gone before. And the Lord showed me that there is going to be an acceleration of His power, of His authority, and of His mission through seniors. And there's going to be like a renewal amongst those that are 60 and over. And even people in their 90s are going to be launching out into new areas of ministry. And that people are going to be living longer because of the glory that is going to touch their lives. I was so happy about that word because I'm a senior. We're going to have so much fun. I mean, I've been dreaming big. I thought, okay, how can we transform the world for Jesus? Let's go for it, you know? And, you know, we don't even mind being the martyrs because we're close, you know? We might as well finish strong and get the greatest rewards in heaven, amen? Okay, let's give you one more, okay? Some of you will like this one. The Lord spoke to me and said there's going to be many pregnancies and births in 2016. Pregnancies and births in 2016. Not only in the natural, there will be natural pregnancies and births, but in the spirit, there's going to be many of you are going to become pregnant with vision. In fact, your ministries are going to become more defined. There's many of you, even in this room right now, who have had kind of nebulous senses of what your calling is and what you were created for. Well, it's going to start to take on definition in you. You're going to start to carry in fullness the growth of your ministry calling and the definition of that. And it's going to be an amazing time for you to carry that which God has placed within you. And there's going to be giving birth to many new things, many new mandates and assignments and visions. It's just awesome. Amen? Do you like those words? Well, there's more, but I would like to do some more, like some personal stuff too. Would you like that? And Jim, come on up here. And Robert, come on up here. We're just going to scan the crowd and bless the people of God. And it's just awesome. And wow, kana mashikalada bakaya. You all have your pick me signs on your forehead, right? Kubarabashanda Sandy. The Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. And even though that even as you have walked through the hardship of this last season, the Lord says that He is with you and that there are destiny seeds inside of you that have already started to sprout, have already started to grow, and that there is going to be a satisfaction in the very things that are going to come forth from you in this next season. In fact, I really see a strong anointing on art. I see your hand being anointed by the Lord to paint, literally paint His heartbeat, His breath that comes forth, and people will look upon that which you create and say, wow, this is really touching me, because it's going to be saturated with a new level of anointing. And the Lord says that as you minister unto Him with a paintbrush and with your pencils and with your artist tools, that you're going to sense His glory presence come around you like you never have before. It's going to be really beautiful. And sometimes the presence is going to be so weighty on you that you're not going to be able to move. You know, you just want to stay still in it. So this visitation of the Lord coming to you. You're going to a prophetic art class on Friday and Saturday of this week?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There's a couple, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows back. You two, yeah, right there. let me say this. There's this thing called splash over, and I'm going to prophesy to these guys, but this is a word for many of you tonight. Okay, and so what I saw, the Lord showed me a picture of a slingshot, and it was like drawing back, and it felt like you were making backward progress. You know what I'm saying? But it was like God was positioning you through that to really spring forward. And the Lord gave us a word this morning, said that your setback is really a setup for your bounce back. And your bounce back is actually a bounce above, because the Lord says in His word that the path of the just is a shining light, as the light of dawn that gets brighter and brighter unto the full day. And so what seems like has been like a backward progress is just getting you ready for being shot like a slingshot. Because I see that there's some, even within this year, there's going to be some great leaps forward for you.
Ma'am, in the blue right here, if you'd stand up, please. Yes, what's your name?
Nina.
Nina, what I saw for you was an opening up of new levels of revelation. And even what I felt was some of the words that Patricia shared, specifically the ones about repairing the altar and a new grace upon the word, of falling in love with the word, that really hit you, that really echoed in you. And it's not even that you've fallen away, but there was just that hunger in you of like, God, I want even more. And what I see the Lord promising you is as you step into that presence, a whole new level of revelation is opening up for you. And I see as you sit with Him, and I'm not sure what this means yet, but I see Him putting jewelry on you. And I specifically see like diamond bracelets around your wrists, even right now. And it's just special jewels of revelation that you'll not only receive, but you'll step out, you'll minister, and you'll release. And that's why they're around your wrists, and that's why they're near your hands. So Lord, we bless her with new levels of revelation. And in that revelation, she'll see that there are invitations to step into and through that revelation to release them to those around her. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a word for someone watching by the web, and your name is Leona, and you've been concerned about your mother or your mother-in-law. And the Lord says that He's going to give you peace and power. Peace and power to do what is needed and necessary in this situation. The wisdom that you are needing is coming to you. And He said, do not fear, that He is with you, and He will give you the boldness and the confidence that you need. Also, this gentleman here in the plaid shirt, you're about, what, the fifth row back there, yeah. I just see like a plumb line, you know, like what painters would use is a plumb line. But it's a plumb line of God's alignment of your heart that is positioning you for acceleration in the Lord. And that there's been this kind of a dry season, or, you know, a season that, I mean, you're just looking for the monsoon sort of thing. And the Lord says that as you seek Him, especially as you start reading the Word, that there's going to be this life that is coming back to you. And you are actually very prophetic. In other words, you can see things the way God would see things. And especially when you're in those close times with Him, you get insights. Even, you know, sometimes you don't understand it all because it's sometimes very futuristic. But God's going to show you how to unpack it according to redemption, according to the good news that He has for it. And you're going to be such a giver of good news. You are going to give people hope. The Lord says He's calling you an ambassador of hope. Amen.
There are a number of you who are intercessors, and you know who you are. And generally, the intercessors are like the hidden warriors. And they're the ones who do a lot of what they do in secret. And the scripture says that which was done in secret will be rewarded openly. But I just sense there's several of you, it's been a season where you're saying, Lord, I, on the most part, I like being in secret. But could I get a little bit of acknowledgement every once in a while? But I heard the Lord saying this, to declare to you today that the reward openly is coming. The Lord promised it, and that what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops, and what's done in secret will be rewarded openly. And there's a lot of you who God owes, okay? The scale has been like tipped. You've sown a lot in and haven't reaped a lot back, particularly the intercessors. And I know there's a bunch of you out here that this is applying to. The intercessors, the Lord says he's getting ready to even some scores and to do some paybacks. It's like he's been going through his books recently. And there's some payback coming, and there's going to be some open reward for your labors in secret.
Jonathan Williams, I have a word for you. What I heard is, many of you probably don't know this, but in addition to Jonathan's many giftings, he's also very administrative, and he recently officially stepped into the position in our ministry of operations manager, which is a very time-consuming, thought-consuming ministry. But Jonathan, when I looked at the back of the room and saw you in the back of the room, what I heard the Lord say was your willingness to commit fully to serving him in that role of operations manager, that in many ways you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to be in the background. I'm willing to step back and serve you in this way. What I heard him saying is he is going to be bringing you forward in your other area of giftings at the perfect time. And if there's been any question in your mind or in your heart of, God, how's this all going to work? How am I going to be able to fully indulge in all my gifts as a teacher and as a worship leader? The Lord wants you to know he's got it all under control. He has mapped the path out for you. He is blessed by your willingness to serve in this area of gifting, and he is going to bring you forward at all the right times and all the right ways. So bless you. And in that, the other word I was hearing were from many people here in this room. And if this echoes in your heart, and you're going to know that you know that you know, because it's going to be, you're going to have used these, almost these exact words with the Lord. For those of you who feel you have put an Isaac on the altar recently, I want you to stand. Okay. All right. Now, yes, you have specifically said to the Lord, Lord, I put that Isaac on the altar, and what's to come of it? And God says it's time for the Isaac payback. It's time for the Isaac payback, that you are going to receive back everything you put on the altar and discover the ram in the bush. That Jehovah Jireh is about to show up for you in an amazing, supernatural, stupendous way. So I declare the Isaac payback and the revelation of the ram in the bush in Jesus' name.
Wow, praise the Lord. This woman here, right here, yes. Yes. Are you a singer? Okay. I saw you singing through the roof, is what I saw. It was like, you know, when a certain pitch is made, I think by airplanes or whatever, it can break glass. It was like that. And what it meant in the spirit is like you're going to break strongholds. You're going to break ceilings. You're going to break things that keep people back. And I believe that you've had this call on you since you were a little girl. And that you have been a singer since you were a little girl. You just kind of came out of the womb singing. And that there's been some frustrations in this, in that you feel blocked, like right where you get to a certain point, like a catastrophe will happen or something will make life hard and you can't really go into it, but it's a calling. And the Lord says that as you align with him this year, like 100%, you know, like let that passion that's already in you just go for it in him, that you're just going to just go to places in the spirit that you've never, ever experienced before. It's just awesome. Amen. And have you done recordings? Recordings yet? Yeah, re-recording music. Have you been a backup singer for other people in recordings? You're doing that right now? Okay, well, there's also something that is coming in the days ahead. I mean, keep doing the backup singing. That's awesome. But you're going to come from the back to the front as well. There's something that you are going to create in that. And so, is Liz Livingston here? Oh, there you are over here. I just have a word for you, Liz, that the Lord is so pleased with you. And that you have this, like you are like a virtuous woman of God. Your heart is so pure, so virtuous, and the Lord's eye is upon you. And there's desires that God has spoken to you, even for this year, that some surprises are going to wait for you within this year that will fulfill those things. But your calling in the Lord is going to take on kind of many different aspects. Like you'll be doing, you know, one thing, and I know, you know, the one thing that you're doing now on the stable front, but then there's some other things that are going to flow out of the wisdom that God has given you. And it's not like you're giving up one for another. It's going to be all of the above. So it's really a beautiful thing there. So God bless you.
Is there a man here who you're in construction, but particularly the foundations, like cement work and the foundation work? That's the main thing you do in regard to the whole construction field. Is there somebody who that would be? Is there anybody like that that you?
Online.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking for the little red light so I can look right at you. Anyway, okay. Because what the Lord showed me was that even though you've rolled up your sleeves and you do with your hands that kind of work, the Lord is also saying that you are also a teacher, and that you are even what you've been doing in the natural realm is a picture. First comes the natural and then the spiritual. But the Lord says that that's a picture of what you're called to do, to be a foundation layer, and even as a teacher, laying principle upon principle, line upon line, precept upon precept. And the Lord's going to just continue to move you in that direction, because what you've been doing in the past is just a picture of what you're going to do in the future. And one other one for the fellow that stood up over here. When you stood up about that altar, what the Lord told me is that just as the Lord told Abraham that after he was done through the test, that the Lord said, "Now I know." And what I heard the Lord saying is that he's rewriting your future. And that there's been some things that he called you to do. But because of that decision, even with Abraham, said, "Now I know." It's like Abraham passed the test. And so the Lord rewrote his future. And the Lord is saying that he has got some new things on the horizon, some better things that he had even planned. And he's rewriting your future. And because of that decision and because of that sacrifice, the Lord says, "Now I've got some grander adventures in store for you, some greater things. And be ready, because as you continue to make that right turn at each fork of the road, make that right turn at each fork of the road, the Lord's got grand and glorious things in the future for you."
The woman right next to him, if you'd stand up, please. What I saw in the spirit was a picture of a dandelion, but a dandelion that had gone to seed. And as you know, I feel like you've been through a season where you feel like everything's gone dry and you've had to die again and again and again to self in area after area after area. And I feel what the Lord wants to say to you is, yes, it's been a dandelion season, but he's about to release his breath upon you. And the seeds are going to go far and wide. And because you've been willing to be a dandelion and die in area after area, you are about to see the dandelion. And the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is going to show up in many glorious ways.
If we could have the worship team come forward right now, we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray for you and release a blessing over you in the midst of worship as we worship for a few minutes here. But I have a word for you, Caleb, and it's so good. Isn't it good to see Caleb again? And it was such a wonderful surprise to see you come in here tonight. It was awesome. But the Lord's showing me that there's something new that's going to be added to what you're doing. You've been faithful. Everything coming out of the movement of the Lord's presence on your heart and you know, all the worship, the flags, the, you know, everything that you're carrying. But in this year, there's something new that is not in that same vein. It's something new. And it's going to be neat as it unveils. It's going to come in a seed form to you. And you're going to think, wow, this is cool, you know. And you're going to start exploring, you know, the depths of it and then start communicating it. And it's going to bless a lot of people. And so we just love you, Caleb. And we know that anything that you put your hands to, you're going to be blessed in the Lord. His favor is going to increase upon you in this year. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. What's that? Oh, yeah. Thank you. We have available here, if anyone would love to be a monthly partner with our ministry to help us get the word out to the nations, especially through media and missions, if you could put up your hand, we'll get you a card here that you can fill out and then maybe take it to the table at the end of the night. Partnership is so amazing because the blessing of it is that when we all partner together, it just exponentially releases His glory. And then you come under the covering of all that God calls the ministry to, and that the fruitfulness of that belongs to you. So if there's anyone who would like to become a partner, a monthly partner, just put up your hand. We'd love to have you join our team. As we finish here tonight, we just want to bless you and glorify the Lord and seal this night up with just His goodness. And so we're going to spend some time in worship. So just stand before the Lord right now and raise your hands up into the glory. Make it like a funnel. Raise your hands up just like a funnel and get ready to receive from Him. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just loose an impartation to your people. I thank you for imparting to them your blessing for 2016, that as they engage in this year, that your spirit will flood upon them, that creativity will fill them, that insights and knowledge of witty inventions and blessing everything that they put their hands to, Lord. We bless them. We bless them with your presence. We bless them with a manifestation of your glory. We bless them with freedom, with healing, and with your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to call our intercessors forward as well to pray our ministry team. As you leave tonight, if you want any specific prayer, our intercessors are the best. They'll come into agreement with you for your miracle. So they can just come up and line up front and get ready to minister. And we're just going to finish with this song. And the book table is going to be open. And we'll be out there for anyone that wants more information about women in ministry. And anyone that wants books signed as well, we'll be out there. And God bless you. And have a very, very, very blessed 2016. Let's give the Lord the glory right now.